Hey, everybody. I am so happy you're listening today. I'm Beth Moore, and this is the first of six midweek podcasts for our study of Galatians, Now That Faith Has Come. I don't want to waste a single second before welcoming my co-writer for our series and my weekly co-host for your podcast, my daughter, Melissa Moore. Say hello to everybody, babe, and launch us into our discussion today.
Hey guys, we're so happy that y'all are here with us. Mm-hmm. We have been reading Galatians and working toward this project for 2 years, and yes. It's just exciting to have some other people come alongside yes. us and get into it with us. And we actually, I'll speak for myself, Galatians was not a book that I have always been interested in. Actually, for a lot of years, reminded me of very argumentative men in my Bible school classes. And so I avoided it. There was a certain type that really loved Galatians, and I neither dated them nor read the book.
But can tell, we have not rehearsed this, Melissa.
No, we haven't.
I'm thinking, are you going by a script? No, this is perfection.
It's taken me by surprise, just loving the book and getting into it, and I'm excited for other people to explore the content with us.
Yeah, I love that we finally have other people alongside that can jump in the middle of it with us. And if you are going on the recommended schedule, then you are one intro session in. So that would have been a video session, a session one, and you're three lessons into your homework. But I'm just going to say to you, however you happen to land here in this podcast, Melissa and I are so very happy to have you here. And this is the first of six that we will share together, and they'll always come in the middle of the week so that you can just click right on and jump in with us in the middle of the conversation of that week's unit. So, Melissa, of course, we have to go here for a couple of minutes, and they've already gotten a little bit of a listen into it anyway, into our dynamic together. People ask us all the time what it's like to work together. So let's just take them there. How would you begin? And then I'm going to jump in there with you.
Oh, well, there's a lot to say here. I started working for mom about 13 years ago, which means I was 25 and more immature, hopefully, than I am now. But I was coming right out of graduate school and was probably like the most belligerent I've ever been in my life. And
I don't know if I'd call it belligerent, babe.
Well,
dogmatic, maybe.
Yeah, dogmatic. I was at the most dogmatic stage I have ever been at in my life when I started working for mom. And I remember the first major project mom and I did together was James. It was the yes. book of James. And I was really zealous about James. And yes. there was a certain way I wanted it taught. And I have a memory of being on the back stairwell with mom fighting over the phrase, the perfect law of liberty. I'll never forget it. Because for me, everything hung on this one interpretation of the perfect law of liberty. And if we didn't get it right, everyone was going to spend the rest of eternity in purgatory. It was all going down the drain. It was that level. And there were actual tears, and we somehow have been working together for 13 years since then.
And no kidding. And probably caused the dogs in the neighborhood to bark. It was that kind of thing on our back
really
stairs, because the stairs
yeah.
at the office are outside. So, but you know, the interesting thing about it is that Melissa was really fixated on perfect law, and I was really fixated on liberty. But
yes.
together, this is a point we want to make here. Together, it did come together, because actually both parts of the sentence were extremely important. And so I love being able to tell you that no, we don't see eye to eye on the way we would interpret every passage, on how we would see that and how we would see this. But what I want to tell you, as you're getting two teachers for one, is that I think that says something that you get with the package that you wouldn't have otherwise. In other words, for all of this time, so 2 years now, Melissa and I have been going back and forth on Galatians. She's been listening to it over and over and over. She plays the whole book aloud over and over every day. I've been working on memorizing. We listen to this thing constantly. But as we do that, and as we've been working it out and working out the lessons, going back and forth between one another, she sends me her lesson, I send her. We we proofread one another's work constantly, but we catch one another on anything that like, okay, what do you mean here? That's not real clear to me. Or it may be that like, that is fantastic. I have never even thought about that before. But what we are hoping, Melissa, is that what we're bringing them is to their advantage, that we don't just always see it exactly the same way, that we get to go back and forth on it and kind of work it through. But I have to say something, because Melissa was such an answer to my prayers. And so I'm raising her and her sister while I am praying. One of the most common things I pray, and it's never a common thing to me, but it's something that I pray very, very often, is that God would continue to foster in me just a ravenous appetite for the scriptures. And I mean, I've just, it's one of the main things I've asked him through the years. And I've been asking him this for, oh my goodness, I mean, decades now, that he would just keep fostering that kind of a fire in my bones for the Word of God. And so one of the most marvelous things, Melissa, about having you along is that I would never have dreamed in all the times that I asked him to keep that fire burning, that one of the ways he would answer that prayer is to bring you alongside, where we could hash the thing out constantly. Here's what Melissa and I love. What we're doing right now in the podcast is what she and I absolutely love, and what we're hoping you'll love, which is that you have somebody to discuss this with. You know, Melissa, I hope some of them are going through it with somebody else so that they can go back and forth on, what did you think about that part? How did that verse hit you? What do you think about that interpretation? The more you discuss it, I mean, the more you get into that passage, and you cannot help but see some depth and get some understanding and have an increased kind of a return on what you put into it. So anyway, we are absolutely thrilled to have you along. Now, Liz, I want to ask you to go with me into the passage. So if you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and open them with us to Galatians chapter 1. Again, you're already, if you're doing it on the schedule that we have recommended to you, you're already 3 days of homework in. So you've taken a good look at Galatians 1 by now, and you're still looking at it. But I want you to look at a couple of words and phrases with us. And I'm going to get Melissa to start us, because one really captured you, Melissa, from the very beginning of the chapter. And I'd love for you to go into that phraseology with us, if you would, please.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, interesting phrases abound from the very beginning. And so I'm going to take you to verses 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. So that phrase, this present evil age, is a wonderful introduction to theology in Paul that some people call apocalyptic. And it's an idea that we see, and you kind of have to know to pay attention to it. So I want to alert you now to be looking for it. But it stands in Galatians in antithesis to the phrase, the new creation. There is a new creation wrought by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And essentially what Paul is calling us to is to sow into the life, the new age that has been wrought, even though we're living in the present evil age. And so there's a tension between these two ages. And I want to just mention a couple other verses in Paul where we see these ideas. So in 1 Corinthians 10:11, Paul calls the Corinthian Christians those upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
Ooh, I love that list. Read that one more time. Read that one more time. I love that.
Those upon whom the ends of the ages have come.
Wow.
And again, in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, this world in its current form is passing away. And it's one of my favorite verses because, especially right now, I find a great encouragement that there are certain things about this world that are absolutely passing away.
Yes.
And yeah, I find encouragement in that.
Yes.
So anyway, I want to repeat the idea that Paul is going to call us to sow into the age that's going to last, and sow to the spirit and not the flesh. So be looking for these ideas as we read Galatians, and we'll talk more about it along the way.
And I think, Melissa, one of the things that you were talking about sharing with them, if you happen to have them handy, is if they want, like if we've been on a phrase
and we've spent the
better part of a lesson on it, but they're still going, I wish I had more understanding. Give them a couple of ideas.
Totally. So I'm glad that you mentioned it because I almost forgot. But the present evil age is a wonderful phrase that probably in our days, we're writing about 2,000 words a day, and we're not going to get into everything. We can't, there's not enough room.
Right.
Scholars write monographs on one word in Galatians and two word phrases. I'm not even exaggerating on that. And so I want to mention a few commentaries from the get-go, just so that as you make your way through Galatians and you feel frustrated that maybe we didn't get to something that you're really interested in, you can have a book or two to consult. So I'm going to name four, and this is not necessarily the best. These aren't necessarily the best. They're just representative of what's out there. And so here we go. I'm going to start with like the shortest ones to the longest.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with L. Ann Jervis's Galatians commentary. It's really thin, but great and concise and written by a woman, which is the only woman of these four. I have to say, there just aren't a lot of women who write Bible commentaries, and that's changing. And I hope that we see a lot of change to come. But please raise your daughters to study New Testament and Old Testament and go on, because we need them. But
yes, and Liz, I think it's fun to tell them that we're possible. We are quoting from scholarly works in this series of scholars that are women. So we are keeping an eye out because we love to be able to share that with you. Okay, Liz,
absolutely.
So you've got one. That's one out of four.
L. Ann Jervis. And then the second one I want to mention is Scott McKnight's volume in the new the NIVAC series on Galatians. It's a great like medium size and medium technicality. And then for bigger commentaries, I'm going to move to David Da Silva and the New International Commentary on the New Testament. It's new. It's probably been published in the last couple years, so that's exciting. And then the final one that has been my favorite is Doug Moo's commentary in the Baker series. And he was my professor at one time, and I just adore him. And he's been somebody that I always know that I don't always think that he is, I don't just take his word on everything, but I do think that he always has a really measured perspective.
Yes.
And so love his. And anyway, it's not necessary. You don't have to get a commentary. If what we're doing is too much, please just hang in there and do the study with us. But I do want to always, if you want more, we want to point you to where that more is. And I can promise you with Galatians, there's more to be had. So
exactly.
Come with us, and that's a good start.
There's no end to the more. In fact, I think I was trying to estimate a couple of days ago with Melissa how many commentaries. We don't study the same ones. Well, now, the Silva, that one is an exception. We're both studying Da Silva in the New International Commentary series. But as for the rest of them, we have separate commentaries entirely that we're studying and probably have at least 20 each. So if that tells you anything, I mean, it is crazy. You can go as deep as you want to. This is the beauty of the Word of God, listeners, is that you really, there's no getting to a point where you have mined all the riches. You have not found all the gems. You have not been able to exhaust it to mastery over the text. There's just no getting there. So, you know, in Christ, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. There's just no way to get to the bottom of it. So there's always a way to go deeper if you want to. Now, here's what I want to do over the last couple of minutes. I want you to look with me as well in the first chapter of Galatians. And if you were part of the opening session, the video session, you know that I had you count off. I read chapter one of Galatians and I had you count off every single time I said the word gospel. Remember, we have six zones here. We are in the gospel zone because we're looking as I am always thinking toward as a teacher, how can I help the student or the participant be able to remember and to bring back to mind with any key word or key phrase what the entire chapter was about. I am constantly thinking in those terms. Could one little thing spring you back into action of what that whole chapter was about? So that's what these zones are about, that I say, okay, Galatians 1 is the gospel zone. Okay, what does that remind you that chapter 1 is about? Well, you would be able to say back to me over and over again how much he is emphasizing that we walk in step with the truth of the gospel, and that it's all about not distorting the gospel, that any distortion of it that takes us beyond anything needed besides Jesus Christ himself in order to be in him, that is not even a gospel. That's not this gospel. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you of that. And so, Melissa, one of the things that we asked our participants to do in the lesson was to define gospel, mm-hmm. because it's something that, as for me, I was raised in church. And in those days, you know, I'm from way back when, and in those days, I mean, we were in church a minimum of 3 times a week. Mm-hmm. And so I can't even tell you, especially in my tradition, very evangelistic tradition, you can imagine how many times I've heard the word gospel. But it was a really interesting thing when Melissa said to me, Mom, I think in that week, I want to ask them, how would you define it? And you don't have to worry about being wrong at it, because the whole book of Galatians is going to help us shape it and define it. But as we get started, how would we define it now? So, Melissa, please read us yours, because I said, okay, if you're going to do that, you give us your definition.
Yes, ma'am. Well, one of the quotes that I use in one of my days was by L. Ann Jervis, who defines, she says, the gospel in a nutshell is the phrase, the grace of Christ. Mm. And that's from verse 6. You know, there's no way to like fully sum up what the gospel is in one sentence, probably. Like, you think about like the 70 plus, I think, times the euangelion, the term, the Greek term is used in the New Testament. And there's no real way to like probably perfectly nail it. But I tried my best in the following, so I'm going to read it out.
Oh, good.
The gospel is the good news that God is redeeming and reconciling the whole world through the life, death, and resurrection of his son, Jesus the Messiah, who reigns as king forever and will return again.
Oh, man, that's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. So I love that we're thinking through these phrases, every single phrase in my mind as she's reading them. I'm trying to catch the phrases and land them in different places in the New Testament where we would see them spoken over and over again. All of these as elements of the gospel, because we don't tend to wrap our mind around the fact that there is more to it than what I might have been raised to think, which is that I am simply asking someone, if I'm sharing the good news, I'm asking them if they want to pray to receive Christ as Savior. Now, don't get me wrong, that is a gorgeous thing. But when we're called to be people who communicate the gospel, that we are able to bring people into an understanding that which has been in the scriptures, I mean, prophesied in scripture, in complete keeping with what the prophets foretold. When we begin to see this, not Jesus out of the blue, but right through the story of redemption in the Word of God, Genesis to Revelation. Listen, this is when it starts taking on technicolor, and I love it. So here's what we want to say as we end this podcast with you today. Just give it everything you are able to give it. I know lots of you have challenges right now on the time that you may have to put forth the effort, but to the degree that you can, try to push yourself just a little further than you think you can go, because the more you participate, the more you're going to get out of it. Study hard, because I got to tell you, I cannot think of a time when it would be more important for us to be just focused on the scriptures that we are seeing. We're so surrounded by bad news, Melissa, to know that we cannot have such an evil day surrounding us that the gospel is not still good news. All in the world, the gospel becomes, in the darker and darker the world gets, is better and better and better news. So, Melissa, anything you want to say before we let them go?
Maybe just to immerse yourselves in the text of Galatians as much as you can. Mom mentioned that I listen to the book read on audio a lot via Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway has like a number of audio Bibles in English that you can listen to for free. And I listen to it a lot when I'm walking because I like to keep the whole book in mind as I'm reading just small chunks of verses. It helps me. I'm not the kind of thinker who can, I can't build blocks slowly. I have to keep the entire text in mind as I'm breaking down smaller segments. So it's just a thought, but whatever you do, just immerse yourself as much as you can and give it everything you can the next 6 weeks. And thanks for being here with us.
We're already having such a blast with you guys. And Liz, I got to tell you that is an exercise that you really taught me, because that was your practice, that before you studied any segment of a book of the Bible, you were going to read that whole thing and maybe over and over and over again.
Especially in one sitting. I think that's, for me, the goal is to not have a break of a day between, you know, reading various chapters.
That's
to try
right.
to read the whole thing at once so that I have the whole thing in mind as much as I can.
And just, just be glad we don't have you in Isaiah or Jeremiah right
that's
now
true.
Or Ezekiel.
That's true.
We've got you in Galatians and this really is doable. And so, Melissa, they will meet you next on day 4 of their homework. So Melissa's on next on the page or depending upon which format you're using, whether it's on screen or on the page. And we just thank you so much for listening, and we are so happy to have you along. So keep studying. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.